The year 2002 was very special for me. That was the year I had not one Easter, but two. I had the traditional Scottish Easter experience, in which the key emotion on display, must be said, was studied indifference. And 5 weeks later, I had the Greek Easter experience, in which the whole country went mad, joy abounded, and Christ was at the centre of the nation's life. The Scottish Easter Journey 2002, in which, if the series of shared services in the town's churches were anything to go by, with maybe 100 people max sharing and getting involved, told its story. And 5 weeks later, the Greek Easter experience, in which the whole nation participated, a week when the eyes of the country were focused on the events of cross and empty tomb, to a degree the like of which I had never experienced and certainly never dreamt possible. In one culture, Easter and all its meaning largely passing the nation by, in the other, total focus. The Greeks have their Easter around 5 weeks after ours, because they use a different calendar to calculate the Easter date, which has something to do with the first Sunday after the first full moon of the spring equinox. I only know that because I read it somewhere. I really wouldn't know an equinox if I ran over one. But because they use the Julian calendar in the east and the Gregorian calendar in the west, things are a little different. Timetables are a bit different. About every 3 or 4 years or so they coincide, but mostly it's different. Actually, there's rather a lot that's different. In Greece, there are well-attended church services all during Holy Week. And on Good Friday, the churches are jam-packed all day and all evening with what seems like a continuous set of services on offer and an endless appetite for them from among the people. The streets are crammed with processions. The television shows all the old films, The Greatest Story Ever Told, The Robe, Quo Vadis, Ben-Hur. And the Greek politicians are high profile at all the worship events. Shops are shut on Good Friday and on Easter Sunday. Families travel for hundreds of miles to be together, and they share a special meal to mark this holy time. There's a tradition that everyone is given a red painted hard-boiled egg, a reminder of bloodshed and a sign of the stone rolled away from the tomb. If you can imagine a combination of the Scottish Hogmanay, a Christmas Eve service, and Guy Fawkes Night, then you might get close to how the arrival of Easter morning is celebrated. I was at the midnight service in Thessalonica for an unforgettable experience of how Easter can be welcomed in. A packed, hot church for a very long service with lots of chanting and singing from the priests. Everyone had an unlit candle. They were waiting and hoping. The church in total darkness. Then the midnight bell is struck. The priest declares, "Christ is risen." And the people with a huge shout reply, "He is risen indeed." Then everyone there lights their candle from the priest's candle, and the ancient cathedral floods with light. The people follow the priest outside the church, and the fireworks begin. The car horns sound. The kissing and the hugging get underway. I was on my own that night, and it did feel strange to be surrounded by such joy and delight and faith, and to have no one to share it with. I returned to my little hotel and to my little hotel room, and there on the bedside table, someone had placed a red, hard-boiled egg. Emotionally, I was a wreck. I cried my eyes out at their kindness and thoughtfulness. It was a great Easter. Humbling to see a nation unashamed of its faith in Christ, their joy spilling over. I did have a narrow escape on Easter Day itself. There was a huge event on the promenade in Thessalonica, TV, cameras, celebrities, singers, bands, and a free meal provided for all comers by the local council. The only snag being that the next day, there was a huge outbreak of food poisoning, with dozens, scores of people laid low. I was kind of glad I hadn't jostled my way to the front of the queue. It seems there is no such thing as a free lunch. The whole experience for me was a precious and unforgettable reminder of what Easter might be and can be where there is faith, when a whole nation shares a vision and an understanding. And when I compared and contrasted it to the shallowness of our national embrace of Easter back in Scotland, when it's off to be in queue for the Easter Bunny special bargain hunt for Easter eggs, well, I coveted that Greek experience for all our people, indeed for our church. That sense of awareness of the approach of miracle, the presence of the sacred, the meaning of the story. I felt a real sense of loss within the church, where participation in it all remains a very minority interest, and so much is lost, missed. Because the people of Thessalonica, indeed throughout Greece, had gone the distance, faced their Calvary, understood and embraced the agony, knelt at the foot of the cross, quite literally, then their joy and wonder on Easter morning knew no bounds, was utterly genuine and filled with a sense of the surprise and the miracle that Easter represents. And the understanding that because of that mystery, which is Easter, they are not left clutching the broken, ravaged body of Jesus of Nazareth, defeated and humiliated and, worst of all, silenced by the brutal power of human cruelty. Were that all they had to hold on to? There would be no gospel, there would be no hope, there would be no church, nothing to celebrate. All our songs dying on the lips, hope mocked by bitter loss. But whatever happened, and however it happened, dead faith came to life. Shame and embarrassment and grief were overwhelmed by life and vision and urgent purpose. Whatever happened, and however it happened, terrified cowards became courageous apostles. Men afraid of prison became men prepared to face the lions, the bears, and the torturers. Whatever happened, and however it happened, the Church of Jesus burst into life and broke into song. And the life, the new life, changed the world. And would have changed it more if more people walked the road to Calvary and followed the crucified King and knew the life of his Spirit coursing through their soul. But this is the voice of faith. It's the faith that enables the joy, generates the gladness of whole nation or the quiet celebration of an individual heart. Faith in this Jesus Christ. Some have it. Some don't. Yet. Some have it. Some don't yet.